I encourage you to open your Bibles to the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation. And we're going to be talking today about getting ready for the Father's return. As I went on this trip, I started thinking about some of my first trips with the College of Prayer over to Africa. And my kids were a lot younger. And when I returned, it was such a fun time to come back home to little ones who were eager to be held and to talk and to tell stories. And children get ready for their father's return from a trip. Well, we as a church here in our little corner of the world, the church at large around the world, we as a church need to get ready for our Father's return. What's that going to look like? Pray with me again, please. Lord, we invite you to speak through your word. We invite you to communicate your truth to us in a way that gets past any of the defenses we've put up or any of the misunderstandings we've had in the past. Barge through, break down, remove what needs to be removed so that your truth is erected in us and that we are in alignment with you. Come, Holy Spirit, to bring this revelation, this understanding, and bring us into a fresh encounter with our Heavenly Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This last book of your New Testament is fascinating in what its purpose is. I encourage you to think about that with me. The first verse of the book of Revelation says, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw." That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. What this is then is a revelation, a revealing, a communication from God to the followers of God, to the sons and daughters of God, to the Christians. This is a revealing of God's heart, God's will, God's truth to all of us, all who have followed Christ since the day of his resurrection until this very day now. So Jesus Christ is the one communicating. Picture that. Jesus the ascended Lord. Jesus the one who conquered the grave. Jesus the one who came out of the tomb of death, who lives forever now. Jesus the one enthroned in heaven, who has all power, is the one who took the time, made the effort to communicate to us through John, by his angel, so that we'd have this information. In other words, it must be pretty important to him that he would make this effort to communicate to us. Jesus communicating to us through his servant, an angel. We want to be the people who receive God's revelation. We want to be the people who are hearing from God. Because there are things that are going to happen that we need to know about. Notice what it says about these things that are going to happen. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must take place. I skipped a word. It says, what must take place. What's the word there that I skipped? It's a key word for us to understand. It's the word soon. Soon. These are things that are going to happen soon. So it's imperative that we understand them and that we're prepared for them. So we want to get ready for these things that are soon to be happening. It was soon when John heard them. It's even sooner now as we are talking about them. We want to be people who are ready. Secondly, notice who's being referred to here, what's going on here. Look at verse 12 with me. John chapter 1, verse 12. John writes, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like the blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance." Here is Christ glorified. Here is Christ in all of his magnificent, victorious grandeur. It's him communicating to us. And he's standing among these things called seven golden lampstands. It's not like a candle stand. A golden lampstand would have been an article created to contain oil, and there's a wick in it, and that wick then brought the oil up, and it could be lit and be a flame for the house. In other words, the lampstands were flame holders. They were objects made out of metal in which a flame could be held and then displayed in that room. The image here is of a glorified Christ and of a church carrying out its mission. The lampstands are the churches. Chapter 1, verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So what is a church according to this first chapter of Revelation? The church is a flame holder. The flame of God's presence is what's being referred to here. God in his grandeur is here, walking amongst the seven lampstands, holding the flame of his presence. What are we as a congregation? Flame holders. What is every congregation supposed to be around the world, on every continent, in every country? Flame holders. Holding the flame of God's presence. Now, it's still a little bit wintry-like around here. I did grab my big jacket again today. But a church is to be a place where the flame of God's presence is burning bright and strong and hot. We want to be that kind of church that's getting ready for the Lord's return, for the Father's return, by being hot, by being a flame that is turned up high, that is radiating out his glory. See, the hope of the world is the church of Christ. The hope of the church is the presence of Christ. Christ comes into his church, sets us aflame, and we are to be a light and a blaze to the world. If these things are going to be happening soon and Christ's return is imminent, we want to be ready and we want to be doing what Christ called us to be doing. We want to be that hot flame in the world. See, Revelation 1 defines the essential elements of God's mission here on earth. It's Christ ascended in all his glory, in all his grandeur, shining and blazing, and it's the church as a flame holder pouring forth the reality of Christ's message to a lost world. It's the church being a flame holder. So how do we get ready? How do we get ready? Two simple points. The church gets ready by prayer and by proclamation. Prayer and proclamation. First of all, we'll see that the church gets ready by prayer. Turn to chapter 4. After a series of messages to the seven churches that occur in chapters 2 and 3, in chapter 4, we see the church getting ready through prayer. Chapter 4, verse 4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the sevenfold Spirit of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. 24 elders worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it goes on. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The living creatures were worshiping God. The end of that paragraph, Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." What were they doing? They were worshiping the presence of Christ. The 24 elders, the four creatures, are worshiping the presence of Christ. But continue on into chapter 5. You'll see it as worship continues. Chapter 5, verse 11. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. A lot of angels. A lot of angels. What were they doing? They circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" What were they doing? They were worshiping the presence of Christ. But it continues on. Look at verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This scene in heaven is what we are invited into now. The church is to join the creatures and join the elders and join the angels and join everything that's been created in worshiping Christ. The church gets ready for the return of the Father. The church gets ready for the return of Christ by worshiping, by ministering to His presence. It's so simple, and it's so easy to forget. It's so simple, yet so easy to not do. We're invited into heaven to worship Him. And as we worship Him, we prepare ourselves for His return. All creation is ministering to the presence of Christ. But there's a problem in this chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4. "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." The scroll is that thing that contains the information that's going to be played out here soon. It's the upcoming events, and no one was found worthy to open it. But then someone was found. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself was worthy to open that scroll. It was the worship that was going on that created within the church an understanding of, a revelation of God's plan. I want you to think about the craziness of the world we live in. So many people so confused about what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, what's lie, what's really going to happen in all this chaos that's swirling around us. So many confused people. Why are they confused? Why are even some churches confused? Why are some Christians confused? Because they are not engaging in this thing that prepares them for the end. The book of Revelation reveals that the church is invited to minister to the presence of Christ, to join the elders and the creatures and the angels and all of creation in ministering to the presence of Christ, of worshiping Him. And when the worship is taking place, the revelation of God comes, the scroll is open, truth is received, understanding is gained. It is Christians who worship Christ who can have an understanding of what's taking place around them. And in that understanding, have peace. "Fear not. For I have overcome the world," Jesus said. When we worship Him, we hear His voice. When we worship Him, we understand His plan. When we worship Him, we can see how things are being played out, and we can have peace. And we get ready for His return. I invite you to move into a final stage of your life that's focused on the presence of Christ, that makes worshiping Him a highest priority. Working for him actually can be a distraction to your highest calling, the better thing that Mary picked over Martha's busyness. Sitting at his feet, listening to his voice, worshiping him. Maybe our prayer ought to be during these final days of, Lord, help me worship you. Lord, help me worship you. Lord, help me be a worshiper. Help me to be a man, a woman that seeks your face. Help me to be a person of your presence. For only in his presence do we hear, receive revelation so we can understand what's going on around us. I invite you, church, to be a person of his presence who ministers to his presence, a person who worships Christ. But there's one more aspect to our prayer. It's amazing if you think about God's sovereignty that this is an aspect of our mission as we move into these final days. The second aspect of our prayer, besides ministering to his presence and worshiping him, is in our prayer to be interceding to him on behalf of the nations. Why are we a missions-sending church? Why are we a missions-oriented church? Because we believe that we are called to reach the nations, from our corner of the world to the nations. And we see that here in Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation 8. As this outflowing, as this communication continues in the book of Revelation, we see the church in their mission having a role of intercession to the lost of the world. In Revelation 8, while Christ is opening all the seals, he stops and there's a dramatic pause. There's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Imagine how long a half an hour felt to John. He's there in heaven. Things are unfolding. Things are happening. Scrolls are being opened. The Spirit of God is speaking. And then there's silence for 30 minutes. If I just have a pause of 5 seconds in my preaching, it feels like forever. Imagine 30 minutes of silence. What was happening during these 30 minutes? Chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer. A censer is another type of flame-holding device. In this, there'd be hot coals and then incense placed. So it's a metal pan. Another angel came that had a golden censer. He came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. You believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you believe God's got everything under control and it really doesn't depend upon humans? It's a great theological truth. But do you recognize that somehow in God's sovereignty, he has chosen to sovereignly use the prayers of his people? In other words, God chose you to belong to him and communicate heavenly thoughts in an intercessory way so that the plan of God is accomplished. The plan of God is accomplished as the church rises up to do its assignment. Your prayers are part of God's end time plan. You ready yourself and you ready your church and you ready the community of Christ around the world by not just ministering to the presence of Christ in worship, but then in that presence of worship, in his presence, you communicate to him his will that he wants on earth as it is in heaven. Your prayers are part of the unfolding of the end times. Your prayers are filling up heaven. 30 minutes of silence. I believe as God was hearing again every prayer. Think of that. Your prayers being lifted up into the throne room, being heard again, reviewed again, responded to again. God invites you to talk to Him about His plan for your family, for your friends, for your community, for your country, for the world, for these end times and the soon return of Christ. That makes your prayer so important. I invite you not just to be a man or woman who worships Him, ministers His presence, but in that presence of Christ, hear from Him and then speak forth what He wants you to speak forth about what He wants accomplished on earth. Your prayers fill heaven. But notice what happens then after the prayers are heard. Verse 5 of chapter 8. Revelation 8, verse 5. Then the angel took the censers, filled it with fire from the altar. All these prayers, now fire from the altar of God's presence, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The prayers are poured out. They fill up heaven. They're mixed with the presence of God, the fire of God, and they're poured out on the earth. We're not talking a small little censer that's the size of your hand for some kind of potpourri. We're talking a basin as huge as the Mediterranean Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. That basin filled with the cloud, the prayers of the saints is then mixed with the fire of God's altar, and it's poured back on the earth to accomplish God's end time plans. You're part of that. You're part of that. Prayers mingled with the fire of God's presence. Prayers thrown back to the earth, dramatically illustrating the power of prayer, the impact, the flow of world history. What's going to happen in Ukraine? You know what it depends on more than the mood of Putin? It depends on the prayers of the saints. What's going to happen in the Middle East? Depends on the prayers of the saints. When's Christ going to come back and wrap everything up? According to this scripture, it depends on the prayers of the saints. Not that people are more important than God. No, it's God's plan how He's going to do it. He sovereignly chose to empower you to pray His will on earth. And in that combination of us doing His will, He accomplishes His sovereign plan for all eternity. And the end comes and Christ returns and we're united with the Father again. So we pray. We pray prayers of worship. We pray prayers of intercession for the world. But there's one more thing in this first half of Revelation that we're about as we prepare for the end. In chapter 10 of Revelation, in chapter 10, the Apostle John, who was on an island, was in exile, is suddenly recommissioned, is suddenly called to once again engage in the ministry that God had for him. You can see it at the very last verse. Chapter 10, verse 11. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and languages and kings. John, your role is not over. Your assignment is not over. You must prophesy again. Prophesy means tell God's truth. Who is John representing here? You and me. John here represents the church. John here represents every one of Christ's followers. You, like John, are being called to prophesy again. Things that will impact nations and languages and kings and peoples. You are called to tell God's truth again. You are to be a truth teller, a prophesier, a God's word repeater. You pray and you get your head aligned with God's truth. You pray, you worship the manifest presence of Christ, and God reveals truth to you so you see things from God's perspective, and you're the only one really that's seeing things from God's perspective. There's so many people confused. And once you hear that, you are then called to prophesy it, tell it again, recommunicate it. People need you to tell them what's going on. Because they're stuck, they're lost, they're confused. The church receives Christ's word, tells Christ's word. It's how we prepare ourselves for the Father's return. In case we miss it, it's repeated in chapter 11. This time it's depicted not as John, but now as two very unique witnesses. These two witnesses are thought to be a representation of the law and the gospel. Are they two individuals, or are they representative of what God has done over years? There's lots of debate about that, but we see that they represent you and me. The church is represented by these two witnesses, and the church is called to preach. Chapter 11, verse 3. And I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes out of their mouths and devours their enemies. These two are appointed. They seem odd, yes. They represent you and me in the church of this time. They represent us as we play our role in the end times and what soon must take place. Do they represent the law and the gospel? Do they represent Moses and Elijah? Do they represent you and me? I think all could be true. The fact of the matter is they're called martyrs or witnesses. Martyrs or witnesses. What are you called? You're called a martyr or a witness. See, God, the Father, in His sovereignty, has called you and me to get ready and to prepare His church to tell the truth, no matter what the cost is. We're called to ready the church and ready ourselves and ready our family and ready our friends and ready our community, ready the church around the world in this country and in Africa and in Asia and across the globe. We're called to ready the church for Christ's return and to ready the church to reach the final unreached people group so that Matthew 24 is completed and every nation and every language hears the gospel and then the end comes. We're called to be martyrs. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my martyrs in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So let's get ready. Let's get ready individually. Let's get ready as a family. Let's get ready as a church. Let's get ready. Church across America, a church around the world, let's get ready for the things that must soon take place. Let's get ready by praying prayers of ministering to His presence, joining with all of creation and all of the angels and all of the beasts and the elders in worshiping His presence. And in His presence, receiving from Him the prayers of intercession for the saints and the lost in the world, and letting our prayers fill up the censer, be filled with the flame of His presence and poured out on the earth. And let us in that process be telling truth to the lost, proclaiming, praying, and proclaiming, you are a witness of Christ, a martyr, to pray and to proclaim. And then the end will come. Are you ready?